It just, and, you know, that, it worked. But because you mentioned, look, changing Easton and Ruiz, that was the game plan. Sean Payton yesterday after the game touched on it. See if I can find it real quick. He specifically talked about going in and out with those, those guys going in. He said it was what they wanted to do. And you saw in some plays, in some areas, Easton made some really nice run blocks, you know?
It is. And look, Sean, I mean, Gus, 2009, it's not the first time that the Saints and Payton and Breeze have made Brady, you know, to wave the white flag. I mean, you remember in 2009 in the Superdome when Brady and Belichick came in and they absolutely didn't even wait to the fourth quarter to give up. I think they gave up at the end of the third quarter. So not the first time that it's happened. And Dennis Allen had a great game plan as well. I just hope we can keep it rolling, keep everybody healthy, and let's make a run at that Super Bowl, man. Great to talk to you, and we always support you up here in North Louisiana, man.
Sure, man. Always appreciate it. Nice hearing from you, man. Take care, buddy.
All right, you too, Gus.
Mm-hmm. So, excuse me, something to pass out or pass along to Sam Pittman, head coach of the Arkansas Razorbacks, has tested positive for COVID. So Arkansas suspended activities here. Texas A&M head coach Jimbo Fisher says the Aggies have suspended activities today because of some positive COVID-19 cases amongst the team. LSU has had a small outbreak. 4 positives. Many more players, though, out in quarantine. It's by Brody Miller of The Athletic here as well. And Ross Dellinger of SI says LSU's outbreak stems from a party around Halloween, and because of contact tracing, it has put the Tigers dangerously close to the SEC's 53-man threshold to play, sources tell SI Now. So team is very thin at defensive back and at quarterback. I saw something earlier. Apparently TJ Finley. LSU is down to 1 scholarship quarterback. It's TJ Finley. And has no tight ends or long snappers right now because of players being put in quarantine here. So, yeah. Probably not what you want heading into Alabama already. And remember, LSU already had to move Florida to the open weekday of December 12th. And Alabama are expected to be in the SEC title game, that is, with Florida. So that could matter here as well. So, again, very fluid situation, but A&M, Arkansas, and LSU dealing with COVID this week, today, shutting down some things, and players being put into quarantine. So we will keep you posted on that, and no doubt Matt Moscone, after further review, will give you the very latest. But, again, TJ Finley right now apparently is the only scholarship quarterback, and all of this is stemming from apparently a party on Halloween in which guys went in. Ed Ogeron this morning saying Miles Brennan is out. He says there is a discussion of shutting Brennan down for the season. He's going to talk with doctors on the best options when it comes to that, as well as he's recovering from injury. So, again, the 2 big things on LSU's news today. Ed Ogeron confirming LSU does have that positive outbreak of positive test. And right now, kind of looks like that's the case. So, yeah. We'll see if they'll play on Saturday. But, again, it's not just him. It's a couple of schools now that have tested positive today and shut down. Arkansas shut down. A&M has shut down some practices due to some positive COVID tests over there. So we'll keep you posted on that aspect of it as the week continues. It is Monday. By the way, LSU a 25-point underdog as they take on Alabama on Saturday evening over in Baton Rouge. We come back in hour number 2. We'll hear from the Graf. He wants to chime in, give his take. Marlon Favorite as well. Rest of the way, your phone calls and more. Plus much more sound from the Saints locker room. It's the Sports Hangover, and you're home for Pelicans basketball, ESPN New Orleans.
I never thought I'd see you smile again. Now that I see.
Saunders and Chabert, attorneys at law, have dedicated their practice to assisting serious accident victims with the highest quality and personal legal representation possible. You may have heard of Saunders and Chabert through word of mouth, but Saunders and Chabert specializes in serious motor vehicle accidents, offshore, river accidents, and injuries occurring on the job. They fight hard for their clients. Visit SaundersChabert.com or call Scotty Boy Chabert at 888-815-1974 for a free consultation. Saunders and Chabert, fighting hard for you all across Louisiana.
Adding a leader you need right when you need them. That's how sports teams get ahead and how your business can too. LinkedIn will match the right talent with your open roles fast. Post a job and you'll get great candidates with the right mix of skills, interest, and experience. So every hire you make is a win for your business. Go to LinkedIn.com/sports and get $50 off your first job post. That's LinkedIn.com/sports. Terms and conditions apply.
College football, it's the game you wake up early on Saturdays for. Even though kickoff isn't until 7, the game where the Goodyear blimp becomes a Hall of Famer. The game that goes just beyond school, spirit, fandom, or love of the sport. It's the game where the comebacks happen. It's the game where anything can and will happen, as long as you have the drive. Because college football is the game that moves you. We get it because it moves us too. Goodyear, more driven.
2020 has created demand for unexpected roles in sports, from plexiglass screen installers to video platform support specialists. Whether you're hiring for similar positions or more familiar ones, there's one place to go, ZipRecruiter. And right now, you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/max. ZipRecruiter's matching technology finds the right people for your job and actively invites them to apply. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Try it for free. ZipRecruiter.com/max. ZipRecruiter.com/max.
You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM. KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, George.
Off and running, hour number 3. We'll hear from the Graf here in a little bit. Of course, though, why not? Sunday Night Football, Al Michaels, Chris Collinsworth.
Well, it's 3rd down and 10. 4-man rush. Freeze hangs in the pocket, throws wide, wide open. He's inbounds is the question. Smith for the touchdown. Traquan Smith. Freeze again, great protection, throws, and that will be caught. That's Adam Troutman for the touchdown. Breeze under pressure, throws, and reaching for it is Emmanuel Sanders for the touchdown. Oh, look out, and it's picked off. It is Nyamata, the lineman, the defensive lineman who comes up with it. David Nyamata, picked off. Marcus Williams, 4th down and 7. Brady under pressure again, throws up a prayer. And intercepted by Malcolm Jenkins. Under pressure, scrambling around, looks downfield, throws it up in the air.
I mean, honestly, I poured one out, you know, poured one out for them last night. I'm not going to lie. I felt so horribly. You could hear it in the tone of voice. You can hear it in the description. No one was more upset at what happened last night, not even Bucks fans, than Al Michaels and Chris Collinsworth. They seemed absolutely miserable as to what took place, as basically everybody had the Bucks winning. Ty Graffinini, voice of your New Orleans Pelicans, also this season has been hosting live chats over in NewOrleansSaints.com. Ty, we'll get to that performance last night, but I saw something this morning. Jackson Hayes on his Instagram. What do I see here? I see screen captures of what appears to be a brand new Pelicans jersey, sir.
Yeah, Gus, looks like the City Edition jerseys are they're out, but obviously not to the public. But didn't get a whole lot to look at, but it appears that we saw the Florida Lee, the gold Florida Lee, some red, white, and blue. So we'll see what happens. But, yeah, obviously the players are privy to that information.
Well, he seemed he, using the amount of emojis that of the little fire makes me think that he liked them. So that's a good thing based on that, because we all know, man, it's all about the jerseys and how they look on there. I'm going to have Daniel Salerson on Wednesday, a week away from the NBA draft. Is it nuts for you to think that we're going to be playing basketball here? It was approved last week. The 22nd will be when the new season tips off, man.
Yeah, Gus, I'm ready to go, man. it's time to do what I'm supposed to be doing, Gus.
Right.
You know, we'd be a few weeks into the season by now, so it's time to get going. Like you said, the draft's next week. We'll get into training camp December 1st, and you know, we should get a schedule before too long, and then we can start mapping things out. So I'm very, very much looking forward to it. Looking forward to meeting Coach Van Gundy in person. Not on a Zoom call, and then go from there. See how the roster is going to shake out. So I'm sure Daniel's going to talk a lot about it as well. But yeah, Gus, it's time to get going, man.
Yeah, look, it's a good thing, and I know you love having him on the broadcast, and he's important, but uberly important, because I couldn't tell you the top five people that are going to be taken in the draft this year, especially with everything the way it is. You've had to watch your Dodgers win a World Series, the Saints come back to life, and all the, there's a draft. So yeah, it's, that's why Daniel does what he does, so he can join us on Wednesday and give us a cheat sheet as to what to pay attention to, because the Pels got some picks now coming up on the 18th.
Yep, no question, and then we'll see how they're going to be used. They're going to, you know, trade up, or I mean, there's so many options now with right. all the picks, and of course that stems back to the trade last year. So, yeah, it's a fun time, and like I said, really, really anxious to get things going.
First off, I'd like to thank you for your time joining us on this beautiful, absolutely gorgeous Monday.
It's glorious, Gus.
It's glorious. It is. But before I get your opinion, I need 52 seconds of your life. 52 seconds.
Okay.
Just bear with me here. Just give a listen.
I trust the Buccaneers defense. Regardless of what happened tonight, clearly they didn't put forth their best effort. But I trust the Buccaneers defense, and here's why. They have a better personnel. All three levels, they have better personnel. I mean, Cam Jordan is an elite pass rusher. I don't disagree with that. I know who he is as a football player. But if you look at what Buccaneers have, Shaq Barrett, JPP, Sue, they got some real good pass rushers, run stuffers as well. Look at the linebackers. I mean, name him a better duo than David and White. I don't think you can, right? And then the secondary, you got up-and-coming players, Winfield Jr., Carlton Davis. So the personnel is better, and also, too, the defensive philosophy is better. We didn't see that tonight, but Todd Bowles can call up.
So there you go. Todd, we break in 10 minutes. Have at it.
I'm taking a deep breath, Gus. You know what? I'm in such a good mood. You think that garbage is going to phase me? Look, I know these guys are paid to give their opinion, and even though even though what everybody in America saw last night was completely the opposite of what you just heard those 52 seconds of, look, Tampa's good, okay? They are good. Here's the bottom line. The Saints' offensive line dominated the game. The Saints' defensive line dominated the game. And you can be as good as you're talking about personnel at all three levels and this and that, but if you ain't getting to the quarterback, baby, it don't matter what your personnel is. And the thing that really jumped out of me early in that game, Gus, was Drew Brees sat back there and had all the time in the world. And was it because Bowles didn't send heat? I don't know. But our guys up front were getting the job done, and that's why our quarterback was so effective and the game plan worked. And you look on the other side, we got after Brady from the first play of the game. So what if Cam Jordan smacked Brady in the face in that first play from scrimmage?
Oh,
so what? They didn't call it.
Oh.
That's a them problem, as I usually say. But,
right.
The Saints D-line got pressure without heat. Four guys. Trey Hendrickson was phenomenal last night. You know, Onyemata had the pick. Davenport, I mean, just bull rushing. Got that tip that started the pick. It was just a great night. The secondary played well. They were all over. And you know what, Gus? I don't know if you talked about this earlier. You notice how many open field tackles that our defense missed? How about zero?
Yeah.
They made every tackle last night. Nobody got free yards for Tampa. It was just an incredible effort, and you just hope it carries over to the rest of the season. These guys now know what they are capable of, and I agree with you 100%. I think sitting back and listening all week long about how Tampa Bay was just going to roll through the rest of the season and how Antonio Brown was just going to turn this Tampa offense into a juggernaut, the New Orleans Saints just sat back all week, which is exactly the way Sean Payton likes it, and just waited in the wings and had the perfect game plan going. And, you know, the old line from Mike Tyson, it really came true last night. Everyone's got a game plan until you get punched in the mouth. Mm-hmm. And Tampa got punched in the mouth, and you saw how they responded. They kicked a field goal with 5 minutes left to avoid a shutout, which is one of the most garbage moves you could ever freaking see in an NFL game. I mean, what does 38-3 mean instead of just, you know what, take your shutout, mm-hmm. you are shut out, mm-hmm. and just walk away and go play next week.
Would you like to hear what Bruce Arians had to say about that?
Oh, I'd love to, yeah. You know what, play that.
Here it is.
You know what, too tough, it was like 4th-20, so we needed to get some points for sure, and had it been a 4th and manageable, 10 or less, we probably would have gone for it.
There you go.
The points for what? To cut it to a 5-possession game with 5 minutes left?
Hey, still a chance.
Oh, all right. You know what, Gus, again, I'm in such a good mood. I'm not going to let them. I'm not.
Yeah.
Hey, look, all you, everybody out there, I know you've got that game DVR'd from last night. Instead of watching that garbage game tonight with the Jets and Patriots, just watch the Saints game again and get in a better mood. I mean, why watch the Jets and the Patriots when you can watch that glorious 3 hours?
Yeah.
From last night.
Okay, so I want to go through some quick things with you here. We got about six minutes left with Ty Graffinini, voice of the Pelicans, and of course is hosting live chats on NewOrleansSaints.com on game days. These were all my points, man. I went A, B, C, D, E, F, G, and H, right? So I'm gonna go with it and give me one quick take. A, dominance. This team looked locked in and focused. I actually learned it from you. You used to tell me, listen to these coaches in these interviews, and you've brought it up. When Breeze is 9 to 12 seconds per answer and Sean is as well, they locked in. That's what I got.
Gus, I'm telling you, they sat there all week and listened to how good Tampa is. And they didn't open their mouths once. And you know what? The Saints are the three-time NFC South champions. They have to be knocked off, okay? Yeah, Tampa's good. No question about it. Mm-hmm. But you want to take the top spot, you got to beat the champion. And I'm telling you, the Saints have been sitting there all week listening to that stuff. And they came out focused and ready to play.
All right, B, game plan. Kamara actually uses a decoy. 9 yards receiving on 5 receptions, 6 targets, 40 yards. It was the theory I said all last week, Todd. In theory, if you can get to the line of scrimmage and basically make it be, okay, well then who gets the ball, this Saints offense could be really tough to beat.
Yep, and throw Taysom Hill into the mix. That's the C. Taysom Hill. Mm-hmm. You know, well, okay, I'm sorry, I'm jumping the gun.
No, you're fine.
But you know it was really good too last night? You know, Michael Thomas had 5 catches. 12 receivers made plays last night, which, I mean, that's going back to the 09-11 days right there. That is what we have been just waiting for the last 3 years, is for some other receivers to step up, because you can't throw the ball. I mean, in theory, you can't throw the ball to Michael Thomas every single play. Other right. guys have to get involved. That's what was so good to me last night, was there were other guys getting involved. Troutman, Sanders, Kamara out of the backfield, Jared Cook. You know, even though he had that fumble at the 2-yard line, he made plays as well. So when the Saints can spread it out, they are almost impossible to defend.
It's pretty incredible.
The most accurate quarterback in NFL history.
You mean, that guy? No, the only quarterback that was playing yesterday was Tom Brady.
He's washed up.
Yeah.
And our quarterback's washed up. And Tampa, tell you,
that TD pass, and I'll send you my screen capture. I think I did it last night. The TD pass to Troutman, he wasn't open. I don't know how he got that ball in.
Well, he still has some zip left, evidently.
Well, it's just
a good
placement.
Catch by Troutman.
Yeah. That's big. And look, I mean, you saw the highlights, and you know, on draft night, that that guy can do that and learn, man, that's going to be a tough target to cover in the end zone for several years to come. Defense, Todd, was point E, since you kind of hit on C and D. Point E, 3 sacks, 3 picks, 9 quarterback hits, 8 passes defensed. They hold the Bucs to 8 yards rushing on 5 carries. You touched on it, though. To be able to do that without exotic blitzes and, you know, giving up coverage in order to get pressure, that was the key.
No question. And again, first play of the game, Cam Jordan
yep.
got put on that rookie and got in Brady's face, and it never let up the rest of the night. And it's a beautiful thing. When you can rush the passer with just your linemen, everything else falls into place. I thought the DBs were outstanding last night. How many times did you see a Tampa receiver? I mean, I thought they were, you know, the best receiving corps in America.
Yeah.
How many times did you see Tampa receiver? Well, that's what I heard all week, Gus. I'm sorry. How many times did you see Tampa receivers running free yesterday?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the cornerbacks were blanketing in coverage and making plays, and that's what it's all about. Now, again, you hope that it continues and it's not an anomaly. I just like the confidence factor. Because I'm going to tell you right now, and I know you're going to mention this, and I don't know if you've mentioned this yet. What's coming up on Sunday is exactly the same type of situation as we had last night when you're talking about the Saints and the San Francisco 49ers. Because now the Saints are going to hear how good they are all week long, and you're going to hear how bad the San Francisco 49ers are, and it's the same exact type situation. So coaching staff, players, they got to get locked in again, just as they did last night, and you cannot take anybody for granted in this league, because you don't know who's going to jump up. I mean, look what happened yesterday in Dallas, Gus. I mean, the Cowboys were this close to beating the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Well,
so come out with the same mindset each and every week, and the Saints are good enough that they're going to win a lot more games than they're not.
As we wrap up with you here, I'll give you points H through whatever, or F, or whatever.
Yeah, look, here's the thing. Alphabet.
Yeah, I told you I could have picked a lot of things out of this. But look, here's the thing. 8 games in, half a season, you're the number one seed in the NFC right now. Your next two quarters of games. Your next two quarter of games, massively important. And I know for you, you're about to get locked in. To the next four, the Atlanta Falcons. The 49ers and Broncos have to be wins. I mean, those have to be wins, and you know there they are, the pigeons over there. No, nobody plays. What did you say? Meaningful football when it's meaningless.
Yesterday. Nobody plays better football in the NFL when the games are meaningless. The Atlanta Falcons. And if you ever want to watch a Falcons game, everybody, it's very simple. They play at noon every Sunday because they're irrelevant. They don't play night games. They're horrible. So, but look, they are playing better because they're playing with house money. There's nothing they'd rather do than to knock us off. Now they're off next week, Gus. So they're going to be sitting back in the wing, just game planning. You know, getting ready.
Mm-hmm.
So again, they're the best 3-6 team I've ever seen in the history of the league. So again. Like I said, you ever want to watch a Falcons game, turn your TV on at noon.
I'm preparing you 2 weeks out, Todd, because you know what Falcon hate week will be like. Julio Jones, the greatest receiver of all time.
We gotta lock in on the 49ers.
I'm with you,
people. I'm telling you.
Yep. No, you don't want that Falcon game to be important. So thank you, Todd. Appreciate the time, sir.
See ya.
Told you. You needed to hear from him today. He was ready to go. Marlon Favorite is up next. It's the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
Finally, it's here. The supermarket that Canal Street's been waiting for. Right between Canal and South Broad, the Big Easy Fresh Market is the locally owned, family-oriented market, complete with a cafe, a bakery, a deli, and some of the freshest produce and meats in town. Craving international food? No problem. The friendly staff will take care of your every need. Ready to start fresh? Make a note. The Big Easy Fresh Market, 2669 Canal Street. Like them on Facebook. Eat more fresh.
Ben, are you having trouble with reduced energy, increased body fat, reduced libido, or even ED? Hey everyone, it's Gus Kattengell for Men's Total Health, and these are signs of hormone imbalance. I paid the clinic a visit in Metairie on Vets behind the Fidelity building, and from Andrea's warm greeting to the understandable info from Shane, I learned how low T can impair immune response, cause insomnia, brain fog, and affect overall self-confidence. Improve quality of life and relationships. They accept all major insurances, so visit menstotalhealth.net today and let them know you heard it on the Sports Hangover.
Lauren here for Vision. We built a new house when our daughter arrived, and we made sure to include Home IQ in our plans. Being a mom is great, and I feel safe knowing that Vision has us covered with home security. The high-tech perks are great, too. Automated door locks, cameras, 24/7 surveillance, garage door control, thermostats, all accessible from my mobile phone. You don't need a new house to get the security you need for your family. Just call us. Watch and control your house with Home IQ. Smarter security from Vision. Louisiana license F1256.
Easy, convenient, affordable. Lady of the Sea Family Medical Clinic in Cutoff, located directly in front of the hospital off of Highway 1 in Galliano, sees patients from 8 a.m. to 9 p.m. weekdays and 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. on weekends. Same-day appointments are available on weekdays, with no appointment necessary beginning at 5 p.m. and anytime on weekends. The added convenience of a pharmacy at the same location makes it the best choice for patients in South Lafourche. We treat you like family at Lady of the Sea.
That man's got some stones.
Believe me, he is no wuss.
His legend lives on.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengell.
Well, it's been an interesting afternoon in the SEC. We bring in Marlon Favorite, Big Fave 504, the way to follow on Twitter. And then, of course, Inside the Trenches, the podcast, sir. We will get to the Saints-Bucks game, your take on that, and whether or not you'll watch any more Cowboys games the rest of the year. But big news in the SEC. You're part of the LSU Sports Radio Network. LSU battling an outbreak of coronavirus here. Four players testing positive. There was also an issue and an incident with a player in Baton Rouge police over the weekend. So we'll get your opinions on that. But it just got announced. Mississippi State Auburn has been postponed due to an outbreak for Mississippi State. A&M has shut down activities because of an outbreak, and Arkansas head coach Sam Pittman has tested positive for COVID. So the SEC this week, my friend, is going to be very interesting.
Talking about a ball of confusion, baby. Hello, somebody. Talk to me, Drew. Mm-hmm. Yeah, man, where should I start? Should I start with LSU dodging that Alabama bullet, potentially? or should I start with the Dallas Cowboys having an opportunity to beat a 7-0 Pittsburgh team and just whatever. But anyway, yeah. Let's start with LSU.
Let's do that.
Yeah, Gus. We talked about this with the Florida game. We dodged the bullet, was able to get a fly-in bye week to get ready to beat South Carolina. This may be, once again, blessing in disguise for LSU. And make Ed Orgeron kind of like the smartest guy in the room. the outbreak, it doesn't surprise me because of the weather change. We got to look at voting just happened. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people were around. You were exposed around a lot of people. It's just the cold and flu month. So it's expected. But for LSU, you got to think, man, we're about to play Bama. Ball, would I sure like to get another week of quarantine?
You're not the first one to think that. Several of my friends tweeted that, that Halloween party was, if everyone gets COVID, we don't play Bama. No, look, at some point, you would probably still have to play him. What is interesting, though, is Ross Dellinger points out, and Brody Miller right here as well from The Athletic and SI, Marlon, they're thin. They're dangerously close to maybe not even because of players opting out and such an injury of being able to even field a team to be able to play. You have to have 53. His total there at 60. He mentions tight end, and there's only one scholarship quarterback right now. That's TJ Finley. So no tight ends, thin at defensive back and safety, no long snapper. This, to me, it's a recipe for disaster on Saturday.
It is. You already have enough guys out. You don't have the personnel to even go against Najee Harris, potentially putting up 400 or 500 yards. It's just not the best team there. But what you do get with the healthy guys and a canceled or postponed game, you do get guys more film time, more time to get better. Because that's what this LSU team is. It's not, you know, mano a mano, our veterans versus your veterans. This is mano a mano, these babies first time playing, and these veterans in a defense that they're not accustomed to. That's what's going on at LSU, and it has to get fixed. The LSU, the Auburn loss was a lesson, and the Alabama canceling or potentially being pushed back would be a time buyer. So I think it's Gus, you know, just looking at it from a wide perspective, it's an opportunity for these SEC teams to get healthy headed into December play.
Speak with Marlon Favorite at Big Fave 504 is where to follow on Twitter. So I guess we will see. We'll talk Friday as to how this game would go about here. If everything was healthy and moving forward, tall task. Alabama now number one, 25-point favorite here. So, Marlon, I wasn't even going to ask you about matchups or anything like that, because I would think this would be more of a game where it's just, I wouldn't even say gut check, but it's more about, okay, what kind of guy are you? In terms of this, you see the difference on the field and where the teams are, but I do believe LSU has talent. So all you got to do is, I look at it, win the play, win the drive, win the quarter, and then let's see where you are at the end of the game. And almost just come out there and leave it all on the field and just say, hey, look, just, you know, you're being called out that you're not even going to score. I mean, things of that nature. So, you know, I think this is a game where if you're one of those players and you play it, that's how you have to approach it.
It is. It's one of those situations where you have to, and I mentioned this earlier to Jordy, you have to be able to look at the man in the mirror and say, I'm going to improve today. I'm going to make myself better for the team. It is a gut check, essentially, because Alabama's wasn't going to come out there with 13, 14 guys start right. 11. It's 11 on 11. Who has the better 11 guys? What coach has the best team? What coach is going to put himself in the best position or his players in the best position to be successful? That's what this game boils down to. LSU has talent. It's young talent, but it's talent. The beauty to this, though, to these losses, to these big SEC games that we're playing in most recent day, Auburn, these guys are getting those, jumping over those learning curves, you know, going up that mountain and learning how it is not only to be a professional player, but to be successful on a Power 5 level. We weren't granted that opportunity as freshmen coming in. We redshirted and we watched and we practiced and we learned that way. By the time we were redshirt sophomores, we were much more mature. So the fact that these guys skip all those steps, hey, you're starting this week, hey, you're going to get a significant amount of reps. They need it, whether bad, good, or ugly. It's been ugly.
News continues here. Just popped up. Marlon Favorite, Big Fave 504, part of the LSU Sports Radio Network. Michigan State head coach Tom Izzo has just tested positive for COVID-19 as well. So one of them days on Monday in the news of COVID here as well. Let me get your take, man, on Tampa and the Saints. Look, I think like everyone else, Marlon, I don't think anyone expected that. I thought the Saints could win the game. But what was the lasting impression from the victory yesterday for you?
I think the biggest thing was Coach Sean Payton dialing it up for Drew Brees and Taysom Hill to hit a number of targets yesterday. I mean, I want to say it was like 11 guys that had a chance to touch the ball. That makes the defense off balance because in normal situation, you'll get can't guard Mike getting hit, I don't know, 70% of the time because he's open. And you kind of game plan for that. But you don't game plan for Trutelman. I hope I said his name right, the young rookie.
Trutelman.
You don't game plan for him that way. You don't game plan. Josh Hill is just there, right? It just so happens he's quietly on the field before you know this touchdown, Josh Hill, right? You know, you get all these. Traquan, I thought, in the last two games have really improved. And then you go on the defensive side of the ball, and you look at that defense, they're double cam the whole time. Tight end, tackle on cam. I know he's frustrated over there, but Trey Henderson on one drive had three sacks.
Right.
Three of them babies. So defensively, the Saints played much better. Had Tom Brady frustrated. had me frustrated too, because I had Michael Thomas and Jared Cook starting. They weren't productive. Jared Cook actually drops the ball, could have gave me 6 points for a touchdown. And get this, Gus. Sorry, DJ Chark. Sorry, Aaron Rodgers. I started Tom Brady and Ronald Jones, and they stunk it up for me. I lost.
Okay.
Sorry. Sorry, Saint. True, you weren't available.
I'll let you take that L there. Hey, let me ask you this, man, because it's something that I know Graf and I just talked about it. It had to be something that really kind of warmed your heart there as a defensive lineman. To be able to do what they did last night in pressure and, what was it, 9 quarterback hits, 8 passes defended because of that pressure, 3 interceptions because of that pressure, 3 sacks as well. And Marlon, it was just winning your one-on-one battle. The guys up front, the D-line, you know, maybe a stunt, maybe the way you line up is fine, but it was just beating the guy in front of you, man. That'd be big for you to be able to see the Saints defensive line go to work.
Yeah, they did an excellent job at that. I thought they handled the business of beating the guy over him. If I was the coach, I would be proud today, right? Because the whole week I was preaching and coaching to win in your gap, play with good hands, read this block, create a new line of scrimmage. I don't even have a voice game day. I'm like, all right, guys, let's go at the point in time to play. Uh-huh. And then they did that. They executed it. They created turnovers. They controlled the line of the scrimmage. They controlled the pass rush. And that's what you want out of a team that's, again, trending in the right direction. Mm-hmm. You're looking at a top NFL team. You got the Saints. You got Pittsburgh. You know, Seattle lost yesterday. You got Buffalo. Buffalo's a top team. So you look at these power rankings and the Saints are slowly but surely. That was the biggest threat right there. I mean, I think that second visit to Carolina will be a trip. Cause, I mean, I don't know if you had a chance to check Teddy and them out yesterday. I thought they played exceptionally well. Fought Kansas City, lost 3 points. But, you know, these are two teams, in my opinion, that's getting better.
Marlon, obviously when you look at 8 games to play and where they are, though, man, I've been saying kind of one of the themes today is yesterday's win means nothing, and at the same time, it means something. In other words, next Sunday at 3:25 when they play the 49ers, that doesn't matter. Those plays, the success that you had, the interception, the pressure, it's a brand new game, right? But it means something in that you're sitting here this afternoon and you're the number one seed in the NFC. The Saints are. So it means something and nothing at the same time. You get what I'm getting at?
Mm-hmm. It does. It's the November to remember, baby. That's what you're getting at, Goose. It sounds good right now, and it looks beautiful in theory. But this team still has to be consistent. Oh, man. And that starts with the coaching staff. Leaders like Drew Brees. Drew Brees was on fire last night. He was the GOAT last night, right? We had a battle for GOAT of the GOAT, and Drew ate the grass, didn't leave time none at all. He didn't get a little piece of weave or nothing. He didn't get that. Right?
Okay.
And he gave him that little look. I caught a couple of those. It was a handshake after, but Drew kind of looked at him like, yeah, put some respect on my name. I saw that.
That's fine.
Hello, I was peeping that out.
Okay.
But in all actuality, this team has tons of potential. You got Can't Guard Mike back, or NBA Can't Guard Mike, whatever one of his names he all at that particular day. Mm-hmm. I mean, even how effective Alvin Kamara was able to be. I mean, he didn't score 2 or 3 touchdowns yesterday. But he ran well. So I'm excited about this team moving forward. Ecstatic to see them play the rest of their divisional games. And, boy, this will be an interesting playoffs.
No doubt, man. Marlon, as always, man, I appreciate the time. We'll talk again on Friday, and we'll see if we'll have an LSU-Alabama game again. Mississippi State and Auburn have been postponed. A&M has shut down activities. Mississippi State has shut down activities. And LSU has an outbreak of positive tests as well, 4 per Coach Ogeron. Earlier this morning. All right, Marlon. Thank you, man. Talk to you soon.
Have a good week, Goose.
At BigFave504 is the way to follow him over on Twitter. We'll be back rest of the way. The last 30 minutes open for your phone calls and more. It's the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans. When you say
there's an underdog story happening today in America. Small businesses are fighting to make a comeback, but in the moment they have the least, they're giving the most. They're rallying communities and neighborhoods, yet asking for little in return. Well, it's time we gave back.
Small Unites is making it simple for everyone to take action and support the small businesses that unite us all. Find out how you can donate, shop, and share today at smallunites.org.
Businesses have had to be flexible this year, from working remotely to pivoting their business models for long-term survival. This has made hiring for your business even more challenging. Thankfully, there's one place you can count on to make hiring easier. ZipRecruiter.com/max. ZipRecruiter's technology finds the right people for your job and invites them to apply. It's no wonder that 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/max. That's ZipRecruiter.com/max.
There's no place like home for the holidays, or HomeDepot.com for holiday decor with Black Friday prices inside and out, like artificial Christmas trees starting at just $39.98, or outside lights and playful inflatables to bring joy to the neighborhood. Order holiday decor online and you'll even get free delivery. Holiday decorating improved with an assortment of holiday decor plus free online delivery from HomeDepot.com. How doers get more done while supplies last.
Hi, I'm Casey Gisclair.
And I'm Stan Gravois.
Join us every Saturday right here for the Sports Corner.
High school, college, and national sports.
Coaches and call-ins and your take on our opinions in the world of sports.
So join us every Saturday from 10 to noon.
Right here on the Sports Corner, presented by TGMC Community Sports Institute.
10 to noon.
On ESPN 100.3.
106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas. Half a pack of cigarettes, it's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses. Hit it.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
Yeah, so many people blaming the Buccaneers, blaming Tom Brady, Dan Orlovsky.
That's the worst game plan I've seen in the NFL this year. And I've watched every snap of Jets football. Brady is Tampa Bay's crown jewel. If you do not protect your crown jewel, you don't have a chance. You're not good enough as a coaching staff. When Brady was in New England, it was about diversity, different game plan every week, how to protect him, all that stuff. This week, it's lineup. We're going to play the same game plan. We're going to play the same game plan. This is 2 weeks in a row, Bruce Arians. This is 2 weeks in a row, Byron Leftwich, where your game plan has stunk. It has to get better. Start to use different formations. Use some motion. Protect your quarterback better, because if you don't, you're not going to win what you should, and that's the Super Bowl.
Just amazing. Literally days ago, they were the best team in the NFC. Tom Brady after the game.
You got to figure it out. You know, those are all good questions. I wish I had the precise answer for you, because we'd be doing it. There's no magic play. There's no magic anything. You should go out and do your job much, much higher at a much higher level.
How did he play last night?
I certainly have to play a lot better. Turning the ball over against a good team never helps. You know, we just didn't play the way we're capable of playing. Everyone's got to do a lot better, and it starts with me. Get back to work tomorrow morning. Try to make it a better week.
By the way, after the game, and if you noticed during the game, you didn't see any of that tape on Drew Brees. What was remarkable is Mike Tripley brought it up to him after the game. He said, "You know, it's just a couple of days ago he didn't practice," and everybody was, "Oh no, Jameis time." Mike Tripley asked him about his shoulder.
Just something I've been doing. There was no doubt, just maintenance.
There you go. So he said that his shoulder was something that he had been dealing with. It wasn't a new injury or something that happened with the Bears. And that him sitting out was just maintenance. Mike Triplett followed that up by saying, well, look, it's not the first time that Brees sat out with either an injury or a practice or two and actually came back and had a solid performance. That's what Drew had to say.
I would just say that sometimes the recovery is as or more important as the preparation itself.
So there you go. You know what's remarkable is it's 2:35. We start the show at noon, as you know. And we hadn't even really talked about that Michael Thomas was back. Now, we did say the theory of him coming back and Sanders coming back should open things up. We've seen Cook be able to prove that he can get open and make big plays. And he did. Look, the ball was stripped beautifully. Had three players' hands in there trying to do that. And the other, you know, dropped it on a solid hit, man. It seemed like every Bucs hit, by the way, was well-placed. But he's been huge this year for the Saints. And Alvin Kamara took on the Bears last week. So the fact that Kamara had 9 yards receiving, that Cook can have a game where he had a turnover and a drop, and it not affect you, it's a good thing. And it's because Michael Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders were back, I think. Here's Breeze on having both of those.
Listen, it was great. It's great to have everybody back there. I know Mike was excited. I know Emmanuel Sanders was excited. I think, honestly, you know, my biggest thing coming to the game was just to, you know, keep those guys just calm, you know, and slowly kind of bring them back into it, you know, and not make it to where it's one of these where all of a sudden expectations are at a certain level and, you know, they're each playing 60 snaps and it's just, you know, too much. So I think, man, the balance of how much those guys play, their production, just kind of getting re-indoctrinated back into it, I thought was perfect.
Here's Michael Thomas on getting that offensive flow going like it was.
Absolutely expect that offense. That's the standard. That's what we've been trying to play the past 6 weeks. And, you know, unfortunately, I wasn't out there to help the guys, but I'm back out there and I'm trying to do my job to the best of my abilities. And we're all complimenting each other and we're all trying to just move the chains and be aggressive. We have a great head coach, Sean Payton, caused tremendous plays. Every play called tonight was working. So as long as we protect the ball, we're going to be a dominant offense for sure.
Overall, and finally being back on the field again.
It felt great just to be out there with the guys and dominate the game on all sides of the ball. I feel like from offense, defense, special team, we all contributed well to this big victory. And it was a great time. I'm lost for words.
One of the things that we touched on, obviously, and you saw 12 different people caught a pass. I mean, you name it. If they were active and eligible, Drew Brees found you for at least one pass reception, which is remarkable. And look, again, here's a guy that set the single season receiving mark record, you know, in terms of catches in a season. And Thomas after the game was like, man, it's great to have all this help and where the ball can kind of go.
Credit to the front office for surrounding us around great talent, bringing those guys in the building, plugging them in our offense and just having a role for them. Sean Payton's great with drawing up plays and getting guys the ball and knowing what they're really good at and what they're capable of. So we're just gelling it all together and coming out trying to execute every drive.
He was asked after the game as well, really the first time I want to say since he's been back that he's been made available. So Thomas was asked by Mike Triplett on the thoughts on the suspension. Did he think it was fair?
Yeah, you know, my emotions got the best of me in that situation, and I've grown from that, and I'm here to help my team win games and get to finish the mission and win a championship. So I'm just here to contribute my value to the offense and my value to this team to help my guys win.
Mike also followed that up by saying, hey, look, you know, there was some talk out there and chatter that he had requested a trade or not. Any truth or that, if he wanted to mention anything about that now?
No, I can't pay attention to any of that, man. I just rehabbing with my head down, trying to get back to be out here to help my team.
There you go. One of the other aspects that we mentioned here as well about having the flow that offense had was it's remarkable, right? Because 12 different players have it. You saw the pace, the tempo, the play calls, everything. And actually, most of that, well, not most of it, but a good part of that, they had Taysom Hill in there. Taysom Hill, 2 for 2, passing, 48 yards, including a third down conversion that was key. 7 carries, 54 yards, and a catch for 21 yards. He was involved.
It really helps. You know, again, I think throughout my career, it's been this battle of, you know, you're out for 5-6 plays or a drive, and then you're in, and you get a run or you get a carry or you're asked to throw something deep. And, you know, it's hard to really find a rhythm. But I think as time has gone on, I've learned to adjust. I've found ways to stay warm on the sideline to make sure that if I go in on a third and short yard situation, I have to throw a deeper ball, that I'm ready to do that. But it certainly helps when I get more carries.
One of his carries that he split the seams there and really took off running, showed that speed that he had when he was surrounded by Bucks. Drew Brees was lined up on the sideline there, and he faked it to him like he was going to pitch it to him. And he was asked after the game, like, you weren't really going to pitch it to Drew, huh?
The coaches have made it very clear that I'm not to throw the ball to Drew. Although Drew is always ready and prepared to receive a ball from me. But, look, it was one of those things where they played a different coverage than what we were expecting, and they covered it well. And so as I broke contain, I saw Drew out there. The safety was coming off, and so I gave a little pump fake, and I think in those situations, instincts just kind of take over and cleared up a little running lane for me.
Do you think that actually happened? Do you think there will be a time where Drew Brees actually gets the pitch? Huh? You wonder if he actually does that. You think it'll happen one time? You think he'll actually throw it to Drew? Like maybe in the Super Bowl, if they get there, right? Can you imagine if that's the play that wins the game for the Saints? It wouldn't surprise me, right? Drew's athletic, especially if it's the last play of his career, man. Who cares if he gets popped on that one? But look, bottom line, Taysom the last several weeks has started looking like the player that has been an X factor, a joker per se on offense for this team. What has been working and started working for
him? Well, I think there have been a few more opportunities for me as the weeks have gone on. Certainly this week, so I feel that. And then I think as we start to do more things, you know, I think it was important for me to go out and throw a ball over the middle to Jared, and then it really opened up a lot of other things for us in the rest of the game. So I would just say opportunities. And I think as you look at defending Drew and all the weapons that we have with Alvin and Mike and Emmanuel and Jared, and then, you know, you add, you know, this nuance to it, and you know, if we continue to do this, it's tough to stop.
So it's Taysom Hill there. David Onyemata got that interception. Marcus Davenport got the tip. And then Cam Jordan, I think, got a glove on it. And then eventually Onyemata on that interception, man. What a great way for that defense to really kind of get kick-started and go.
All right, pretty much just drove right in there. But the thing, leading up, like in the week, the main thing, you know, if you couldn't get to Tom Brady, just get your hands up front. And Marcus and Cam actually did a good job with that. And they both actually batted the ball, and that just drove right in my lap.
Marcus Davenport had a solid effort and a good game yesterday as well, didn't
he's been gone, and he's like – leading up, not even this year, even the year leading up to this. Like, it's just, you know, understanding the game plan and just having him, you know, be comfortable and go out there and do his thing.
How valuable has David Onyemata been when you think about it? Earning a contract here in the offseason and stuff, and, you know, it's nuts because you think that he had a presence and everything, and he did. He didn't register a tackle, per se, right? He got the interception, but he had a pass defense, which means he blocked the pass. And then he had 4 of the 9 quarterback hits. David Onyemata had 4 of the 9 quarterback hits. He personally knocked down or hit Tom Brady. 4 of the 9 times the Saints defensive players did. It's pretty remarkable. The importance that he's had there, right? David Onyemata says the D-line after the game got after.
They were happy. That was expected. You know, we go into games, we have high expectations. So a game like that was, obviously we needed that. It was about time we got one.
Again, the other remarkable thing, again, we can just go through every letter in the alphabet and add something that stood out in the game. 5 carries, NFL record, by the way. Fewest carries in the game, 5, 8 yards. That's the rushing totals for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Onyemata on stopping the run.
What, they had 9 rushing yards or something in this game? The thing, we go into games with the same mindset. We went in there, I mean, we came in with the same mindset, stop the run and rush the passer. Like, regardless, that was our mindset.
Indeed, pretty remarkable. Final segment. If you'd like to chime into the conversation, feel free to do so. It's the Sports Hangover. Matt Moscone, after further review, is coming up next. A very, very busy day in the SEC. We'll go over some of those things as well that Matt's going to talk about, including 4 players testing positive on LSU's football team. That game against Alabama now in question. We'll talk more about it when we come back. It's the Sports Hangover in ESPN New Orleans.
Hi, this is Trip Lee with AC Ambulance. It's been a hot summer and it's not over yet. I bet there are a lot of you whose AC could not keep up with temperature humidity control. If you fit into this category or just need a checkup, repair, or a heat load calculation, call AC Ambulance. We've been in business since 1979. We proudly sell Daikin backed by a 12-year parts and labor warranty and the best financing in the business. So don't take a chance. Call the ambulance. It's 467-1400 or check us out online at acambulance.com.
Keep your business on the cutting edge with electrical supplies from Bayou Black Electric Supply in Houma. Bayou Black Electric Supplies has marine, oil field, and industrial electrical supplies. They have products ranging from marine, cable, lightning, and lots more, including Eaton Electrical. Many items for any project or repair. Count on superior service and lightning fast delivery. Bayou Black Electric Supply is your local electric connection, a division of Fleet Supply Warehouse, located on Highway 311 in Houma.
Advanced Eye Institute in Cut Off is your hometown eye care provider. Dr. Darby Chasson is here to serve the eye care needs of your entire family. Full-service eye medical and vision services are provided in a friendly atmosphere. For the latest in designer frames to advancements in astigmatism and bifocal contact lenses, call Advanced Eye Institute at 985-632-2884 for your appointment today or visit their website at visionsource-drdarbychasson.com.
Drop and Fix in Houma and Thibodaux is your premier choice for smartphone, tablet, and computer repairs. Specializing in all major brands of smartphones, tablets, laptops, and desktops, Drop and Fix can make sure your devices continue to work while keeping your costs down. Whether you're a home full of gadgets or a business with printers and PCs, Drop and Fix can help keep your remote learning or remote working environments up to speed. Find our Houma and Thibodaux locations on Facebook or on your device at dropandfixla.com. Drop and Fix. If you drop it, we can fix it.
How can we be excited about a show where we just talk?
Talk sports.
That's how they talk in the Major League.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
Welcome back. Got a couple of minutes left if you'd like to chime into the conversation. 38-3, that was the final. Saints were up 31-0 at halftime. 421 yards of offense to 194. Each team, by the way, same number of possessions, 11. Tony Dungy, by the way, he and Mike Tirico had the call on Saturday night. Notre Dame and Clemson. More of them, please. I'm not being ugly. I have friends that do it. I do it play by play. It's not easy. But, I mean, did it sound like literally Al Michaels and Chris Collinsworth would have been rather anywhere else than there last night? I mean, is it just me that it sounded like he was absolutely miserable that Tom Brady and the Bucs weren't doing well? I mean, no enthusiasm and energy. And I don't care for it. That's just me. Maybe back in the day he was great and did that. I have felt this way. It wasn't just the Saints game. I'm ready for something else. I love Mike Tirico. I always have. Obviously, him calling the Gleason punt block. I like him. I think he's really good at what he does. But that broadcast, I don't know if they'd done it before. Maybe I haven't been paying attention. But he and Tony Dungy called the Notre Dame-Clemson game. And it was fantastic. It was fantastic. A lot of times, color guys can overanalyze. I don't need to hear something every play. I can. It's fine. Don't fall into the trap that you have to. And if you do, sometimes your color commentary can be, what a play. Or, man, was that something, or something like that. It doesn't have to be this intricate, let me show you my X's and O's knowledge after every single play. Certain plays, absolutely, add the insight. I've asked this before on air, what makes a good color commentator? And to you guys, because I get the sense and feel that no one thinks anyone's really good in the NFL. Collinsworth gets a lot of criticism and things, and, you know, think everybody's like, there's Romo, and that's it. I'm like, okay, well, I mean, he's one. What makes him good? What do you, in your mind, makes a good color commentator? And again, what I liked was Tony Dungy was simple. He was concise. He was informative. But more importantly, just seemed to have a nice flow with Mike Tirico. And it was good. Mike does a good job of allowing the game and the sound of the game and the moment of the game to dictate. And he legitimately sounds enthused, whoever it is that's making the play.